Blog Talk Radio.
Can I have his dance?
Is it all right?
Yeah, it's all right. As long as you ain't slow dancing, Junior.
Greetings, everyone, and I must say Happy New Year. This is Miss Latoya Bird, also known as Miss Controversy Bird, in the 2018 on I Love Down South Radio, talk radio, all about what in the world is going on down south. I'm so excited to be with you this evening. This is actually our first show of the year, so this is pretty huge and something monumental, if you will. I'm so happy that 2018 has greeted us with blessings, abundance, success, good health, healing, so on and so forth. Like, this is your year if you didn't know it. It's definitely down south year. If you from down south, like, down south to me is Coconut Grove on down. So if you anywhere in that area, you know, in that little area, I need you to know that it's your community's time in 2018. So much toiling, so much work had to take place in 2017 that your communities, your families, your businesses are going to thrive in 2018. So I need you to go ahead and get in alignment with what we got going on in regards to solutions, in regards to good news down south. So on that note, I have to give you guys an update on Good News Ghouls, our local positive publication here in the down south area, all about creating and celebrating good news in our communities. So last week, we partnered with Pink Hearts, Inc., as well as PHP Agency, which stands for People Helping People, and we did a cute workshop, if you will, called New Year's Resolution Solution, and it was pretty powerful. You know, when we think about the New Year's, we always get nostalgic about, damn, I really need to fix my life. I need to get things in order. So when we think about New Year's resolutions, it's normally in three areas: love, money, right? Love, money, and health. Those are the three areas, top three things that people always want to focus on. So we did a powerful workshop focusing on the laws of gratitude, and understanding finance and the frequency of wealth. It was pretty dope. We had Melissa from up north came down and joined us. She's also known as Benjamins and Heels on all social media platforms. She came down and schooled us on how the new tax code benefits business owners and that we need to get our butt in alignment and own a business, okay? And then we had DeAndre from another financial services firm came down to join with us and to talk to us about credit and how to use credit to our benefit in 2018. So it was a pretty powerful event. Of course, Pink Hearts was there representing, you know, the nonprofit organizations who are out there servicing our community. So it was nothing short of amazing. It was a dope event, and you should have been there. Matter of fact, we're planning a part two up in our Hollywood office this upcoming Sunday. All right, so if you're listening and you're tuned in, it's going to be in Broward, actually. If you missed out in down south, you're going to have to come up north. You're going to have to come up north for another great event. Please get with me at 786-972-8695 if you're interested in being a part, participating, or being a vendor, so on and so forth. All right, and that's New Year's Resolution Solutions Part 2. So, yeah, that was our highlight from the end of 2017 and coming into 2018. We had a phenomenal week being able to be a part of some historical events that took place literally right in our backyard at the South Day Cultural Arts Center, at the Save Our Sons Black Boys Day event. Hovai, Mr. Lance Williams, founder of Poise Inc. and also principal of Perrine Optimist School. So it was amazing. We had the renowned guest speaker, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. We weren't ready. We wasn't ready. Oh, my goodness, we wasn't ready. But it was so good. And all the pouring into our youth was definitely healing, was definitely divine. And I'm so happy that I was a guest there. So, yeah, that was this week. And to close out this week, we are on location right now in Fort Lauderdale at the Max Steppers big event, Max Steppers weekend event. So those of you that are familiar with me, you know I do Chicago-style stepping, or at least I like to think that I do. You know, I take lessons and everything. But every year there's a huge annual event hosted and put on by the Max Steppers here in Fort Lauderdale. So it was a beautiful gathering of dancing and just enjoying quality people. So that's my little intro of you know, what we had going on coming out of 2017 and sliding our way into 2018. But there are some things at hand that we need to definitely put on the radar. And tonight's topic is politics, poise, and power moves in regards to down south. And like I said, for me, down south is Coconut Grove and further down south all the way to Florida City. There are some things that have to happen. And just talking and talking is not one of them. So this will be a solution-saturated conversation. So I need you to get prepared. Go ahead and get your cell phone out or your notebook, your pen, your paper, because you may need to take some notes. There will be solutions on this show, guaranteed, every single session, every single episode. But we've been doing that. That's old. So we need you to catch up and join us as we service ourselves, our families, and our communities. So I have none other than Miami-Dade Councilman Johnny Ferreras from District 15, servicing Princeton, Goulds, Naranja, and Leisure City. He's going to be joining us at one of our first special guests this evening because he is a man of action. I've had the opportunity to meet with him on a couple different occasions, and all I get from him, all he exudes and my interactions with him are solutions. And this is what we need to be looking for in leaders and partnerships as we go into 2018. So I want you to help me welcome our special guest, Councilman Ferreras. Welcome.
Thank you, baby. This is good.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for your time. thank you for your commitment, your dedication, and being woke, so to speak, to important political aspects and bridging the gaps between the political world and our community, because some think that it's a disconnect. But I actually see you being an intricate tool and instrument used to help bridge that gap. So welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is the second time that you have me on. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate everything you do for the people that are trying to do things for South Dade, because it is a forgotten community, an ignored community, and we're here to change that and make a difference.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to dive right in. I want to get right to it. Can you tell our listeners and our supporters just a little bit of background on you? Because I think it's important for them to understand who you are and come to the conclusion of why you are fighting with the tenacity that you have.
Okay, well, I'm a father of five, a grandfather of a three-year-old. I'm an electrician by trade. That's my job. That's my everyday job. I was humbled and honored to be able to get elected a year ago to be councilman of District 15. And ever since I have been a councilman, I've tried to do many things for the community. I as you know, I instilled a foundation for the scholarships for the three high schools that are in my district. And I'm just a regular person still. You know, I go out every day, get up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, go to work, come back, and just like all you guys stuck in this traffic that we hate, as we know. But, I mean, there isn't much about me. Just basically, I'm just the average guy that's out there just like you, you know trying to make it work.
I heard that. It's funny when I listen to you talk and you say, you know, you're an ordinary person. You're just trying to make it work. That isn't ordinary. And thank you for being modest, but I think you do a great deal as a father. I had the opportunity to have your son as a student of mine, and I was very impressed with him. And
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Someone
did, and
huh? Yeah. No, I'm looking at the post here. So when throughout, you're a veteran also, and yes, I was also in the Navy for 8 years. I was a sonar technician third class stationed out of San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you got that structure going on. And so you enter politics on a dynamic inauguration, so to speak, or a dynamic entrance with, you know, serving our country and then now serving our community. I don't think that's a small, you know, I don't think that's anything small. I think that's huge, and that's why I'm delighted that you even reached out to me in regards to what you have going on, and I definitely wanted you to be on the show because it right now, what you have in place and what you're planning and what's already in motion is so important to Down South. That's why I had to have you on. So let's get to what you are doing and what's going on. I know that representing the South is very important for you, but before I talk about the event that you have going on, can you explain to us why this is so personal for you, considering, because you grew up, you're from New York, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So considering that you're a native, how has this become so personal for you as a local politician?
Well, because growing up in New York in the 80s, I'm not going to say what year, but in the 80s, it was a struggle. And as many obstacles as we had back then, you know, we still go out every day and overcome those. So I've never let any struggle or any obstacle stop me or any of my dreams or any of my goals to do what I need to do. When I did leave New York to join the military service and expanded my horizon and learned the discipline that the military gave me, I met my wife there. I came here and I actually did what I needed to do here. And when I saw that things were just not right for the for the average American, for the average person, the struggles here were crazy. So that's one reason why I decided to join and get into politics. Now, the event, which I'm hosting with Dr. Norman White on the 28th, is crucial because the South Dade area, meaning communities from the deepest part of South Miami-Dade County, which is Florida City, down to the historical towns of Richmond Heights, have been totally ignored by the state level. We have commissioners
absolutely.
That are trying to do a great job. Excuse me?
No, I said absolutely.
Oh, and we need to change that. You know, we need to remind them that the South Dade area is a big voting block, and we are no longer to be ignored. As we know, there's a big sweep, voting sweep, you know, across the country, that people are coming out to vote, and we're changing things. And that's going to be the same thing here that we're going to be doing. We are here to remind them that we are here, we have a voice, and we're South Dade strong. On the 28th of January, the gubernatorial candidates that are running for governor on the Democratic side, because we're still on the primary coming up, they have all been invited to come down and meet and talk with all the residents. We got pastors coming. We have business owners coming. The place is already packed, and I'm happy for that. Among that, we have a lot of elected officials, like Commissioner Daniela Vitava is coming. We got Keone Medina, state representative, the Florida City mayor. He'll be there in attendance. And all this because we know that South Dade matters. It's important. We need to send a message. And not only a message on the 28th. That message we're going to bring every 4 years and every time there's a major election to let all the state candidates, the state elected officials, and even the local ones remember that we are here, we have a voice, and you're going to listen now. Time has changed. There's no more of taking us for granted. There's no more of thinking, oh, well, we don't have to go down there. No, they're going to have to come down. Because, I mean, even now, I posted earlier on my Facebook page that as of January 2nd of 2018, we have registered over 400,000 voters in the South Dade area. That's 400,000 registered voters. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a number to play with. That is a number that people need to win elections.
Wow, that's huge. One of my favorite quotes from Andre 3000 at an award show one year. They were defending the South, and although he was talking about, you know, the greater South as far as the United States, I always like to use the phrase "the South got something to say" when I'm talking about down South here. Because we do. And we, like you said, our numbers are there. Largest voting numbers, largest county out there, right? And
yes.
we're sitting by just watching the problem. And that's a part of the problem. So I like the fact that you're providing a platform for solutions, providing a platform for us to connect with these officials that will be elected. And we need to hold them accountable. For those of you that are checking us out online, check the show description. Check out the flyers on the show graphics. And it has the flyer for the event. And we also posted it in Good News Ghoul's Facebook page. So we need you to be in the building because if you're not, you cannot complain about anything. You cannot complain about anything if you're not going to put yourself in a position to hold the elected officials accountable. But the only way we can do that is if you come out and be accountable yourself as a community member. State your case,
absolutely
state
correct.
Your concerns. Put pressure. Put pressure. Politics, pressure, poise, power, move, all that. Mix all that together. Get your butt out of your community, like your block. Like get yourself out of your box as well, because sometimes a lot of us are working professionals who literally just do that type of rat race thing, and we don't get outside of that to see the bigger pictures. We don't get outside of that to see what's actually going to affect our grandchildren and their children. So this is quite important for us to pretty much just set up or put up. And I like the fact that go ahead.
Also, I want to mention to everyone listening on the radio, watching me on Facebook Live right now, that the event is free. There is no money to pay for tickets. You just got to get there. Okay. Now, obviously, the space is limited, but we are working on getting lost in the park, some chairs, and maybe streamlining it over to a screen over there. But either case, we need to show up. There should be no reason why you don't show up. And like you said, if you don't go, you can't complain what happens afterwards, okay? There's topics like the transportation thing that's going on right now that we need to ask our governors, whoever's going to be governor, what they're going to do about getting money to put a rail down here. Or we need to ask the governor, why are we allowing all these tolls popping up everywhere that got to stop?
Oh, Lord. Don't even mention the tolls. Go ahead.
I was just told right now by the Travis Williams on Facebook that there was a senseless shooting in Homestead. You know, we got to start not holding. I mean, not that we can't hold vigils. Yes, we should, and we need to go out and we need to support each other. But we need right answers from the governor, from the state officials about what we're going to do about this violence that's just claiming our youth. I mean, you know, when is it going to stop? How many more? What else do we need to do to put an end to this?
That's right. And so I said earlier, we can't get mad if we don't put ourselves in position to talk to, you know, institutions and decision makers, of course, and local elected officials. If we don't get their ticket, so to speak, when I say ticket, you got to know who you're dealing with. Find out what their script is. What are their agendas? And let them know what your agendas are, and that your vote kind of weighs on where your community's needs, your family needs are going to be met the most, and be quite direct about it. But you have to be present to do that. You have to be present and active within your own family, within your own community, in order to bridge that gap between the decisions that are being made on a county level, state level, and then what happens here in our community. There is an actual bridge there. And for me personally, I'm new to politics. I'm not politically correct, so you're going to hear a lot of things coming out of my mouth because I think sometimes it takes that to get to the raw solutions that we need, because we're dealing with raw problems. And yes, we need to have candlelight visuals when someone is taken from our community. But wouldn't it be powerful if we began with the end in mind, if we knew that we wanted to avoid and have fewer candlelight visuals? What would we do now on day one if we had that in mind? So one of the solutions that I pose to you right now is just adopting your block, like the block that you actually live on. Adopt that block. Make yourself available and accountable for communicating with your neighbors, having positive and valuable and meaning conversations, caring. Because I think we're forgetting that we're human, and that we all share some common goals to live in a safe environment, and to have and to plan for a safe future, so that, you know, the legacy is there. So to the senseless shooting that happened in Homestead, I haven't heard about that. But however, if lives were taken, my prayers and my heart and my deepest condolences go out to those families. And I need to pause for a moment about these tolls. Johnny, I have to talk about these tolls. Okay, so these tolls, I will definitely be in the building talking about these damn tolls. So bill from 2013, it has a transactions with the dates. And the bill is outrageous. It's a couple thousand dollars. And they say, oh, you need to pay this in 30 days or, you know, your registration is going to be blocked. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What happened? So I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say about the privatization of the local transportation routes that the public doesn't really know about. These weird buses that have Miami-Dade logo on it. What? So, yes, we have a lot to talk about. And it's more than that that needs to be addressed. And people may say, oh, that don't make a difference or this or that. Yeah, it does. It really does. And so I need you to figure out what issues and concerns you have. And if you can begin with the end in mind, if the end result, Johnny, is the village that we know is needed in order for us to have an effective community, that village, the big mama, the abuela, all of that, black beans and rice and collard greens, all of that, stability, structure, accountability. You understand? So culture. If we had those, if we know that's the end result that we want to lead to, we should be able to, that need to be taken right now in regards to planning and goal setting. So I don't want to take up all of your time, but I really did enjoy learning about your passion for this. And so pretty much on the keep it real tip, forget being politically correct, Mr. Ferreras will help you with that. LaToya Bird will not. But he's pretty much saying to these people who want to be on the ballot, you know, tell me what you got going on. Why do I even need to pay attention to you? Now, what is your track record? Where does your, since you're a politician, now I got to talk to you on a whole nother level. And what are you willing to do? What kind of consequences will you be willing to subject yourself to as a community leader or elected official if you don't meet the goals that you promised us now? Let's go ahead and create a rubric to track and to see if you're keeping up with your promises, if you're keeping up with your commitment to the community, right? Can you show us a previous rubric that you've been able to follow to the T and you were able to serve the community? Have you done that? Can you show us the statistics on that? Can you show us the numbers? These are the areas and concerns that are important to our community. Of course, drugs, killing, so on and so forth. But what programs are putting in place to change the socioeconomic status of our community? What you doing about that? I know that you have these devices in our communities that are, you know, tracking the gunshotters. I'm not sure if that's the correct term. Yes, we need to find out where this is coming from, but I need you to strategically place these nonprofit organizations in our community that can provide some financial education and solutions to our families and elevation. Hello? It's a reason for robbing, stealing, and killing, but if we help change some of their perceptions, outlooks, resources, hello, we can have some change. So
yes, we can. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but among that, you're talking about the shot spotter, but not only that, I mean, we got to change our whole quality of life, because our socioeconomics boils down to the way we live and what politicians say, the quality of life. And with our quality of life, we have to remember that it's a certain amount of things. The transportation, for us to be able to get to work back and forth. We need to have jobs down here. We need to have affordable housing. You know, these all play a vital part, and they all play from Tallahassee down. So these candidates are running for governor, when, you know, they need to come and talk to us and hear what we need, because what we need down here might not be what Orlando needs. It might not be what West Palm Beach needs. But they need to worry about what we need down here too, especially when Miami-Dade County is a big donator to the tax system of the state. So, yeah, they need to come down and listen to us. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I brought up nonprofit organizations is because our tax dollars fund some of the funding agencies, you know, that provide and award funds to nonprofits. So
yes,
there should be a new level of accountability to nonprofit organizations. And I don't mean, you know, they have their own, you know, requirements that they have to follow in regards to receiving the funds with, let's throw Children's Trust out there, you know, that they have to follow, or whoever is funding them. You know, there's certain terms and conditions, right? But what
yes.
if, as a community, we begin to partner with nonprofit organizations and establish a new rubric, a new way of navigating through effective success in our community? And I think that Together for Children is attempting to do that with what they have going on. However, it's going to take that same approach with every single group. So in your own community, find out who are the nonprofit organizations. Find out where the resources are. Find out who the business owners are. Find out where the assets and resources are in your community. And Mr. Ed Hanna always talks to me about that.
Ms. Bird, there's an easy way to do that. There's, on your phone, go to your apps, your Play Store, and download the Children Trust app. And on that,
okay.
you'll find all the nonprofits that are in the area that get funded by the Children's Trust, and you'll find program after school programs, you know, help in tutoring and homework and all that. So
absolutely.
Everybody that's listening, go to your phone and download the Children's Trust app, and that will be a vital, vital resource for you.
Absolutely. It's a place to start. Because they're one of the largest funders to nonprofits here in Florida. And there's also many other agencies that provide funding to nonprofit organizations. So I really think there needs to be some energy and some program and support and resources, additional resources provided to nonprofits themselves as entities, because anybody could pay and slap something on a something-something and say, I'm a nonprofit, and have
yes.
their EIN number and everything, but they're a nonsense profit. You know what I mean? So so on that note, like, if we were to really be in a position for community accountability, you know, it wouldn't be accountability like, oh, they're telling me what to do, or I'm doing what I want to do, or I don't have to do this, or I don't have to do that. It wouldn't be with that energy. It would be with the energy and the frequency of, wow, what can we do to add more value to our kids? Let's make a goal and plan for our children to graduate with 800 credit scores. Let's plan and make a decision to prepare our students to be on a path of leadership and ownership by the third grade. Hello. So it ultimately, while we do need to engage with our local politicians and elected officials, literally, family, it's the community that's going to have to lock arms and create our own solutions and call on the local politicians to make sure they're in alignment with the goals that we have set, period. So that's what you got to look forward to at this event on the 28th, correct?
Yes, January 28th from 4 to 6 p.m.
That's
so
what's up.
It's on Sunday.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, can you give us a rundown one more time for the event and also provide your contact information and ways that people can get involved if you need volunteers,
okay.
so on and so forth?
Yes. Okay, the event is going to be held January 28th from 4 to 6 p.m. It's on a Sunday. So you have time to go to church, have your lunch, and come on down with a lot of energy to ask all these questions. It's at the Homestead Seminole Theater. Be there or be square.
be on your square, okay? And make sure your behind is there. Uh-oh, I did a little freestyle. But ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that don't know where the Seminole Theater is, it's in downtown Homestead. And for those of you that don't know where downtown Homestead is, it's on Chrome Avenue. So
yes.
Get your GPS life together and get your butt down here. Plan to be there. And just be ready to engage and interact. You don't have to come in there, you know, looking to chew people out. You're coming in there to create partnerships and collaborations and to look for mutually beneficial relationships, period. That's what 2018 is all about. Mr. Johnny, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I don't know if you've provided your contact information or email.
I will now. My phone number is 786-714-8889. You can call me. My phone is on 24 hours a day, but I do sleep, but it's okay. And my email is Councilman Johnny G. Farias, that's F-A-R-I-S, at gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. There is no reason why you can't get a hold of me. So if you want me, there you go. And I do answer back. I love being on social media. So, you know, I'm there. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. I'm doing this to bridge that gap between, you know, the community and the elected officials, because I do believe that the elected officials should be a little more accessible, and I try to do that for everyone. Okay, so please feel free to call me. Yeah, I can't make miracles happen, but I will definitely try.
That is what's up. I want to thank you again, and you're more than welcome to be on the show anytime you want. We definitely are going to look forward to you being in Good News Schools, giving us updates and providing us with some community content about what you have going on. So thank you so very much, and peace.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and see if our next guest, looks like our next guest is on, and I need you guys to go ahead and text a friend. If you haven't posted this, please do. ilovedownsouth.com. Get them on the line so they can listen to some solutions. Like I said, saturated with solutions. This is a solution saturated conversation. All right. So family, I have none other than, I like to call him Mr. Legacy because he has such an amazing story, value and structure and character to Down South because of his father and now what he's doing here in our community as a principal, as a father, as an empowerment, just an empowerment, what could I call him? I'm lost for words. So this brother is doing a lot in our community on levels of education, on levels of community, and on levels of outside the box. So this is an empowerment champion, what I want to call him. And this is Mr. Lance Williams. Peace and blessings.
How you doing?
How are you?
I am a little sad, but I'm enthused and encouraged to keep on rocking this boat.
I'm pretty sure you are definitely proud, a proud winner, because I know you've been running and running and running, and you hit one of your gold medals actually this week. This past Friday at the historical Save Our Sons Black Boys Day.
Could you
talk to us a little bit, Mr. Williams, about why was it important for you to even put this event together? How did it start? When did you first have the inclination to even do something called Save Our Sons Black Boys Day? And how did it all start?
It started a couple of years ago, and I was in the process of seeking some type of funny and some other, you know, exploring some other options and some other endeavors. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were just brainstorming, and we came up with the solution or with the topic of address situations that are happening in real time, and we try to prioritize it. And at the end of the conversation, we came up with the black boy. Being that the black boy is the most challenged species on the planet, and when it comes to the just the life of a black boy, it encounters so many different things that no other species on the planet encounters, especially when it comes to academia, socialization, vocation, and incarceration. So I felt it so needed to go ahead and address these concerns, but do it on a platform that will not only just expose it, but empower the participants, not only the ones that are at risk, but the ones that are right on task or even above, you know, average. Because at the end of the day, all of them will experience the same thing at some point in their life, just being in the skin that they're in. So I felt it right, and I got back with many of my colleagues, which are away from judges and politicians all the way to guys coming home with a bus card. And there was a consent, we need to do this. So throughout the trials and tribulations and throughout a lot of obstacles, because I had a couple of people who went in their pocket and donated, but at the end of the day, it was an enormous budget that had to be fulfilled, and we got through it. So I think it was a success myself, and many of the people who've gotten back with, you know, they also, you know, concurred with what I expressed.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, so imagine you're at a huge state-of-the-art cultural center here in the down south area. You're greeted with, different vendors, breakfast, and just all these smiling faces who know that you're in the building to be empowered, to be poured into, to be supported. Then you have, you know, your health component there. You have CHI, which is one of our local health community centers.
Mm-hmm.
They're providing health education, sex education, HIV testing on site. You had the Circle of Brotherhood representing with their camaraderie and energy and effort and their commitment to the community. And some of those brothers were also business owners who were providing free haircuts with the mobile haircut unit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
Buzz
think
cut.
Of the name right now. What is it called?
Buzz Cut. From the Circle of Brotherhood.
Absolutely. It was so impressive. I actually felt like I was not down south. The event, and for those of you who are from down south, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We can go to Miramar, we can go to Wynwood, we can go to South Beach, we can go anywhere besides down south and expect a certain level of quality when it comes to an event. But when you say you're doing something down south, it's just like, I don't know about
mm-hmm.
that, right? But quite the contrary.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that's why the event on Friday was so historical to me, because you just changed the game. All these little, the picnic attitude about community efforts and issues, you just changed the game
mm-hmm.
on that.
Mm-hmm.
And not change the game
that.
To be like slam dunk in somebody's face, not like that, but change the game like,
mm-hmm.
listen, this is what we can do if we collaborate together.
Yes.
This is what we can do if we support one another. This is what we can do if we allow the ego to get out of the way and if we see the bigger picture at hand. And that's exactly what this event represented to me I know it was Save Our Sons, Black Boys Day, but it really felt, it had the energy of we're saving our families. That's what I felt. I felt that in the event with the different speakers, and it was just amazing, the networking that was taking place, the fellowship. So could you tell us a little bit about your guest lineup and what you were actually going for when you were putting this together, what you wanted it to be, and then how it actually turned out?
You know how you sit around sometimes and you're working on things, and then along with that situation, I'm one that I get a bunch of phone calls from many different, avenues in life. And I've always kept my people close to me, and it's been reciprocated like that. So I would be remiss if I didn't give them the opportunity to go ahead and utilize that platform to catapult whatever they want to do, because they do so much to me, and they don't even know you're doing it. It's just as yourself, Latoya. It's so many, challenges that come in life, and when you've been assigned to get things done, many people don't understand where you're coming from, and as you said, I operate totally outside of the box, more of an unorthodox approach. And to sit down and pray and plan and, posture myself to make this make sense, it had challenges. I mean, everywhere, all the way down to, being hospitalized, for a surgery I had to have earlier this year. But moving forward, I mean, just the energy, like you said, and the people engaged in it, it was a super day and a super opportunity for everybody to get back to doing what we need to do and identify the greatness that we have within, just in our DNA. Many people don't understand. Well, they understand, and actually they understand it better than we understand it. So if we understood where we come from and our lineage, we'll be in a better condition. So, again, utilizing that platform not only force you to enhance your quality of life, it shows you that you can achieve, And this being the inaugural one, I figure when we get to about the 10th, we may be televised, but this is something that should take place, and we should get homage to all the guys that came before us and all the ladies that have come before us in this community and have paved the way so we could have a Black Boys Day.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Because as I was talking with Mr. Ferreras earlier, I mentioned that the goal, the bigger goal in mind, is the village. And if we do
it,
if we understand that, the daily steps are easy to be made, because we know it's now our accountability and responsibility to make sure every step is going to be in alignment so we hit our target of the village. For those of you listening in via internet or calling in, I want to thank you guys for chiming in. But I just wanted to say this because he doesn't know I'm getting ready to say this. But I would like to be a tool and an instrument in moving forward with the Save Our Sons effort and energy, because I love the fact that you had the Save Our Sons Black Boys Day, but we both know it's the Save Our Sons and Black Boy ERA right now.
Yes.
We're in that age. We're in the Save Our Sons Black Boy age right now. And so that's going to take some commitment from those who share your goals and who understand the ultimate goal of the village. And so I would like to definitely say publicly on air that I would help I want to help design and help be a part of the ongoing engagement and interaction with the very same boys and also the men that were there, anybody that was there. I think we should keep an ongoing platform. I think if you
yes.
haven't done it already, a Facebook
yes.
Group page.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yes.
we should also network and become direct mentors or empowerment coaches. I don't like to use the word mentor. You can look it up, find what it means. But
right.
I want us to keep this together, keep it going. It's
yeah.
just like at a family reunion. You know, it's
yeah.
happy to see everybody. But
mm-hmm.
don't just wait till the next family reunion to create a memory when you had 365
right.
days and sometimes 2 years, sometimes 5 years when you're doing family reunion. But in this case,
right.
you know, we're thinking a lot of times when we do events, we think annual. Let's do it next
right.
year. Let's do it this. And I know
right.
your heart is rooted in the legacy. So I already know you got a mind for engagement on a day-to-day basis because you know that's what it takes. So I ain't even
mm-hmm.
worried about that. I'm not worried
nah.
about that at all. So for
no,
those
ma'am.
Of you that are business owners, organizations, whoever you are in our community, if you would like to be a part of the ongoing engagement, please connect with Lance. He's going to provide his information. And also, if you would like some help and support in creating ongoing engagement for your own organization or business, because a lot of business owners want to get in on the community action
mm-hmm.
and help out.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the perfect avenue for if they already don't have a organization or a movement of choice. So before Lance goes, he's definitely going to provide his information.
Yes.
Matter of fact, you could go ahead and do that now because then I want to talk about the guest speaker that you have. So go ahead and provide your contact
you
information.
I thought you had got him.
No,
no,
can't do that.
Lance Williams. My number is 888-882-0256. That's 888-882-0256. My email is lawpoise@gmail.com. And you can easily reach me at any of those contacts at any given time. I also have a Facebook with Poise pages on there, as well as myself, Lance A. Williams. If you get Lance Williams, that's Junior. But, wow. Wow. Thanks, Toya. Thanks, Toya. But we can't forget about the man. Oh, man.
We cannot. We cannot. So, look, I'm going to be quiet. I can't.
Oh.
Look, let me say, look, give me 2 minutes, and then I'm going to let
Go
you
ahead.
Just.
Go ahead.
I'm going to let you close it out. So, ladies and gentlemen, coming to us by way of leadership of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, we had a renowned guest speaker, Dr. Wesley Muhammad.
Yes.
Bless the South Florida presence. Notice I said Florida. The whole when someone like that comes to an area, it's not concentrated. It actually benefits the whole dang own state. So
yeah.
The fact that he came down south, like
mm-hmm.
way down south.
Deep,
so
deep
down south, Goose, you know,
yeah.
some people argue that Cutler Ridge. No, it was Goose, baby, it was Goose.
Goose.
And coming all the way from Chicago to deliver
mm-hmm.
a message to an auditorium that should have been turning people away because it was that packed. But I believe
yeah.
that everything happens for a reason in divine order. All the bodies that were there, the young boys that were there, the youth that were there, the men, the families, the women that were there, the business owners that were there, even the
uh-huh.
staff, even the
uh-huh.
staff was getting blessed by the words of encouragement, the harsh and sometimes piercing, unapologetic words of
they call
of reality.
That truth.
Right? The truth.
They call that
the truth. The truth. And if the question is save our sons, he said, what are we saving them from and who are we saving them from? And that
what
set the tone. That's right. That's right. And he came out the box like swinging, like not even just swinging. He came out the box with Muhammad Ali, like if we're talking about fighting Muhammad Ali, Mayweather, Mike Tyson, Rocky, like all of them, like all of them at the same damn time. It was crazy. So when I say glued and listening in, zoomed in, it was so nice to see the barriers broken down in the audience because, you know, in our black communities, we do have a large religious population of Christians and the different versions or what they call it. You know, holiness, Baptist,
and all that.
So to see them receptive to someone from the Nation of Islam was remarkably miraculous and beautiful. And the one thing you just said, because he was speaking truth, he was educating, uplifting, but speaking truth and being piercing all at the same time, because that is what it's going to take in order for us to save not only our sons, but to save ourselves and to save our future. So, ladies and gentlemen, when I say it was historical, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Really?
I understand NBC 6 was there.
Yeah.
They were the only ones that were there.
Four wasn't there. We had a feedback with the Herald and other internet correspondents.
And definitely Good News Google was in the building.
Oh, Good News is in the building.
In the building, because that was officially the epitome of good news, that event alone, everything that led up to it, the collaborations, the meetings, the planning.
Oh, man.
The toil, the arguments, whatever. Because, you know, when you're doing something big, things happen. The frustration.
Yeah.
The man, forget this, like that energy. All of that led up to the historical inaugural, the kickoff
greatness
to a new level of greatness, a new level of engagement, a new level of expectation, a new level of accountability, a new level of elevation in the community.
Yes.
So,
that thing was
bad, as in good.
So
just to see the presence. First of all, I don't know. It may be a mosque somewhere down south. I don't know. I've been to the one on 7th Avenue.
South, but it was on 7th Avenue, 54th and 7th. I was with him all day today.
Okay,
oh,
I've seen it's that.
Like
he's all over again, right?
Oh man, and he did a lot of reflections back on Friday with the same echoing of what he was expressing at that point. And the good thing is, this guy here is, if you have never heard him, please Google him and find out what he's talking about. Many may be kind of non-receptive or kind of reluctant to pay attention. But I want to know, just being around, if there's everything that's untruthful, go ahead and question it, and he'll answer it. You know, he'll elaborate on it as long as you want to elaborate on it. However, do it in a state of no emotion. Just understand what it is. And if it's the truth, it's the truth. Because one thing about the truth, it's either going to fill up a room or it's going to clear it out.
That's right.
That brother is a special person. He doesn't dwell. He's Islamic. He's still in Islam. He's Muslim. However, this guy is first and foremost spiritual. And when people get to the level of maturity where they can understand of spirituality, instead of being in a religious sector, the life will become much greater.
Mm-hmm.
But he came in, and we had a pre-interview right before the he walked out on stage. And he was asking me about how the crowd was, how was the engagement throughout the day prior to him, you know, arriving. I told him everything was a go. He said, well, I'm going to step on some toes. I said, well, that's what we're here to do. We cannot get better unless we go ahead and go through that pruning process. And where we are right now, the crisis we're in, we need the best doctors and the best ERs available to try to eradicate some of this cancer and a lot of this thing, a lot of these things that are that's not beneficial for us. You know, and then he elaborates on a number of social issues, especially when it comes down to these type of approaches that not only the government is using, but a lot of things that are happening throughout the chemical-based situations,
mm-hmm.
which is feminizing and black boys, and is masculinizing young ladies. It's just a cross-breed of things taking place, and this is happening in real time. And we feel that we are so knowledgeable of what's happening, and we don't have a clue.
We don't have a clue.
And the accountability is back on the
parents.
No clue at all.
You know what? Can I say this? The accountability falls back on the village, I believe.
Yes.
We allowed the village to be dismantled because the mother and father are alone if they don't have grandma, big mama, the healer in the community, the one that know about talking to the ancestors, the one that knows the spiritual sciences, like all of that. So it falls back to the degree that we've allowed our village to be dismantled, and now we're used to it. Now a dismantled village is a tradition, and we need to get back to what makes sense. Now, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, what he said was the government has declared our young black men enemy of the state, and because they've done that on a political and military frequency, if you will, right? They've approached it as such. So when it comes to their end goal, if they're going after an enemy and their end goal is to win or to conquer, they will do whoever, we're government or not, if you're planning on a military note to attack and to conquer your enemy, you're going to do whatever you can and do it strategically, do it effectively. Do it the most cunning. Do it. You gonna get it done. And so if somebody has your face on a target, like the public enemy symbol, number one, if you the target, they're going to come for you in ways that you're not expecting it. So expose the fact that through our lack of consumer awareness, our lack of reading, our lack of understanding that we are a target, our communities are a target. We can't see it. So we may be living our lives going on day to day and not realizing that, oh, my goodness, yeah, I've been targeted. I've been made to be designed. My communities have been designed a certain way because there's a goal in mind of the enemy that's attacking me. Oh, this food has been genetically modified because they're chemically attacking me. You understand the testing scores and criteria and so on and so forth are designed because it is an attack. So the many solutions, that's what I want to bring to the table. He brought some solutions to the table. One of them was build our own schools.
Exactly.
And quit subjecting ourselves to systems that we feel that don't work.
Exactly.
So you can't complain and then still go to the oppressor or still be a part of a system that you know is not serving your family or serving you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Period. So that's one. Build your own schools. He also said cook. And I like to throw in there, if I could, grow your own food. We live down south.
Yeah.
We live by the Redlands. It's nothing but farms. Matter of fact, shout out to Cool Runnings Organic Farms in the Redlands, Jamaican-owned organic farm. All right?
Yes.
So
we need
to just focus on a couple different things in order to realize that, oh, okay, this is serious, this is real. I'm being attacked chemically. I'm being attacked with the approach with academics. I'm being prepared for incarceration, maybe. The psychotropic drugs that are associated with emotional and mental issues. And then who decides what emotional and mental issue is, which I do think we need to focus on in our community, because we've fallen so far away from the village, we haven't taken a holistic approach to how we deal with our emotion and mental balances and health. So now, because we've gotten away from the village, we subject ourselves to what somebody told us, what somebody just wrote in a book to say that you can't sit in your seat. So according to the DSM on page this and this, you need to get this drug because this drug helps with defiance. Really?
Right.
Really? So he broke down consumer awareness and exposed the fact that if you are a target, he said we are the target. And so when you are the target and you don't know, you don't even know that you're the target, you don't even know that you're being attacked, You already got. Not only you, but the next generation. So Yes, everything surrounding it. Brother Lance, and it was amazing. So I'm in my seat, like rocking back and forth, like, oh my gosh. Like, yes, we need that. We need that. We need to know that. We need to research. We need to find out what we're eating. Stop eating things that are red, blue, purple, and green. If it didn't naturally come that way. If you do want to eat meat, I mean, no beef for me. But if you do want to eat beef, do some research. Get the quality. Get you some natural. Get you some organic. Get you the right stuff. Don't get the 99-cent stuff. Oh, by the way, if I was the enemy.
That he did lose that instead of, you know, just going the cheap route, spend a dollar more or something to get what
invest.
You properly need, some type of organic.
Invest
type
in
of,
your health.
Or process.
Invest in your health. Or stop eating so much altogether. Every time I look at the budget, I'm like, well, how many times I got gas? How many times I ate? Oh, my gosh, I'm eating so much. So... You know, I'm pretty sure he also would have talked about and touched on finances. He touched on and alluded to so many different things. Our time was limited. You know, we held the Cultural Arts Center down from 7:30 a.m. all the way to 5-ish. And that's how powerful it was. When I say save our son's black boy's day, it was all day, okay?
All day.
It was all day. All day,
and
now it's about to be all day, every day.
trying to do a dual day for the upcoming one, but we're planning right now to try to make everything step up to another level. How we gonna get there? With collaboration, and got a lot of feedback from, you know, community-based organizations, you know, and then try to make all this make sense. However, before anybody steps into this circle, you have to go ahead and have your conversation, because be thoroughly aware that we ain't bound down for nobody. And it's not saying that in a derogatory manner, but this is a sacred type of situation, and we cannot allow people in people's agendas to go ahead and infiltrate this movement.
Because it's a situation where we're trying to change the game. This is not that was not an event. That's a movement.
That's
so
right.
People
that's
are
right.
Welcome, but understand your role in the process.
So wait. You said you guys are working on a dual like event, like one happening down south, one happening somewhere else, like all at the same time, or what?
We're trying to do it, not in different locations per se, but have a day. It'll probably turn into a conference instead of a day.
Okay.
The conference probably about 2 days, and we'll have a lot more opportunity to cover more ground. And
that's
include
right.
more vendors and
breakout sessions,
more,
like where the boys or the groups can go into a classroom and sign up for
correct.
A particular thing that they want to learn. So from how to ball, how to make billions, because we're
exactly.
talking about millions and the rest of the world already on the B, on the T, honey.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm with you. But I like the energy of doing something dual. And matter of fact, that's what I was going to let you know. There was an event on the north end.
Yeah.
I want to say Tees Youth. I think TEES Youth. I think I followed them on Instagram. If I've said it wrong,
mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to highlight that they also had an event for young boys, young black boys, on the north
right.
side of town. So it's all that already. Boom, that already is happening. If you're a nonprofit organization out there and you see someone doing an event and you're in a different location, holler at them. See on the next time
yeah.
around if you could do one dual at the same time but in a different location. Rack it up.
It's going to have to take some intensive planning because you don't want to send mixed messages if you're trying to accomplish the same goal.
Right.
So it has that
structure.
It has to align with something.
You plan together. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm gonna be quiet. We could probably got like 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
2 minutes. For those of you listening, I hope you enjoyed the show. Wow. It was quite powerful. Brother Lance, if you could close out the show maybe in 30 seconds to 60 seconds, just a word to the community on what they can expect from you from moving forward.
Well, moving forward, we already, the train has left the station, and right now, either get on board or just hear about it. We're trying to do some amazing things dealing with academia, getting a vocation and socialization, but most especially mentorship or guidance, because mentorship wasn't
mm-hmm.
a word when I grew up. We have to get that village back together, and it's by any means necessary. We need men to become men and women to become women, not be your friends,
mm-hmm.
not run all the way down to the schoolhouse acting like you ain't got no sense, trying to co-sign something that your child bought on to you. Go ahead and explore a situation, because 9 times out of 10, It's something that's not being said. So we have to also use that approach in school. We are not only in school, but we have to do it in the community, in the churches. I mean, we got to make this thing so transparent that you need blindness, you know. But
not
at the end of the day, we got to make it all make sense. And we all we got, but we all we need. So just pound on that and. Like moving forward, a lot of people, they on board with solutions right now. But it's not about a resolution. It's about a change. Because resolutions resolve real quickly. Dissolve, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They dissolve real quickly. So.
They sure do.
If we stick to that and subscribe to that prescription, we'll be in a better state come next year this time.
That's right. Absolutely.
So,
Lance, it's January the 7th, and some of us
mm-hmm.
already done put. I already done quit the gym.
Just stop that. Because it sounds good.
Stop that already. Like, it's already done.
Yeah, stop that and the Christmas tree still up.
You Christmas tree still up, and turkey might be in the refrigerator. Turkey might be in the refrigerator. So as we close, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure I let everybody know I am an inheritance and legacy broker. I teach families how to understand and how to use life insurance as a tool for generational wealth, and I'm very happy about that. I also help professionals and anybody with student loans reduce or eliminate their student loans, and I help those with overwhelming credit card debt. And I understand that as a solution in our community, we have to gain some type of financial literacy, education, elevation, and definitely we can enter into a different class, if you will. I mean, like classroom, we learn new things, different things, and that's what it's going to take in conjunction with everything else. So if you and your family would like a workshop, if you and your family, your friends, your group, your nonprofit organization, your business need some empowerment and tools and resources in that area, please give me a call at 786-972-8695. My name is Ms. Latoya Bird, and it's been a pleasure being your host this evening on I Love Down South. I want to thank Mr. Lance William, Mr. Johnny Ferreras for being on the show. I want to thank all of those that participated in the Save Our Sons Black Boys Day. I want to thank the Max Steppers for putting on this amazing event this weekend that I'm attending right now. I stole away a little bit so I could do the show. But my feet hurting, y'all. But I've been moving around. I danced a little bit. I had a lot of fun. Shout out to all the Chicago style steppers here, visiting from other states. It's just been a true blessing, and I'm expecting 2018 to be exactly what I prepared for. And you should do the
you
same.
Got it.
So peace and blessings to you, everyone. It's been real. You can find us here, same time, same place next week. For sure. All right, and we're going to ride out to some Miami music that you can enjoy. So peace to you guys. Thank you so much for listening in. Go ahead and ride out and get your life together.
child.